CIUT would like to thank everyone who donated during our Love Your Radio fundraising drive. Our post fundraiser is now underway, and you can still donate at CIUT.fm/donate to help us reach our goal of $100,000. Every little bit helps. Thanks again, and stay tuned. Right here, right now, every day. CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. We're going to talk about Central Africa, the Great Lakes region, the latest news. Particularly, I want to talk about Paul Rusesabagina. There's been a development in his issues with the Rwandan government. As you know, he was illegally brought to Rwanda. He was kidnapped out of Dubai. That's Paul Rusesabagina, who is the inspiration for the film Hotel Rwanda. We want to talk a bit about him. And also, just because it's called the Taylor Report, we're going to report on something else rather striking. Pierre Buyoya, former general president in Burundi, died, and we only recently were talking about him on the Taylor Report, because Pierre Buyoya had a great role. I don't mean great in any positive sense. He had a role in the events in the Great Lakes region. Burundi and Rwanda, as we often point out, are demographically the same, with a great majority of their populations being from the Hutu population. There is also a Tutsi minority, and this makes for rough politics, particularly in the period of decolonization, which is behind the story of what occurred in Rwanda. Everybody only knows Rwanda from 1994, where this, of course, has a long history, and it involves colonialism, the role of the Belgians, before them the Germans. And this figure, Pierre Buyoya, loomed large in the crisis that gripped, as the journalists say, gripped the Great Lakes region. Pierre Buyoya was a Tutsi. He was determined to maintain minority rule in the country, and he is, by consensus opinion, the leader who caused the death, assassinated two presidents of Rwanda, elected presidents who were Hutu. And we were speaking of him on the program recently because Pierre Buyoya had a very important role, new job, and it shows how powerful neocolonialism is, in my view, is that Pierre Buyoya, after being responsible for the assassination of two elected presidents and the results of those assassinations leading to mass bloodshed, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, you could say, refugees in the Great Lakes region, which impacted Burundi when people were fleeing Buyoya's rule. They went into Rwanda, where they were a political problem and an issue, which was also part of the backdrop to the war between the Rwanda Patriotic Front, which had come from Uganda in 1990. And then you had, not only did you have a confrontation of armed groups, you had this, the one coming from Uganda, but then also because of Buyoya's actions, you had displaced Burundians inside Rwanda, a small country, at that time 7 million people. And the world needs to think about Pierre Buyoya, who he was. And I'm saying was. He has died of COVID, And the report is that another thing that I had not realized, I'm conveying to listeners of the Taylor Report, he had a position at with the African Union. He was representing them in of all places, the dispute in Western Sahara. So we got a bunch of headlines all mashed together here, because as people read the papers and looking at the news know that Donald Trump recently arranged for Morocco and Israel to come back together. They've always been quietly on support of each other, but this is now a public thing and they're making it a big thing, another victory for Donald. I don't hear Biden say it's a bad thing, by the way. This is very striking. We'll go into that at a later time. But at any rate, Western Sahara was, of course, a Spanish colony at one time. And when the Spanish departed after the death of Franco, there was going to be a referendum to determine what the people of Western Sahara wanted to do, become. But Morocco claimed Western Sahara. And the world community, by the way, does exist. Not the world community spoken of by Foreign Affairs Minister / Global Affairs Minister Champagne, or by Mr. Pompeo in Washington. Not that world community. There is a world community. It's called the United Nations. There's a phony world community created by NATO, Western imperialists, and they always talk about themselves as if they're the world. So we always, anytime we say the world, we need to be, we enforce the reality. So the United Nations said, and it wanted to play a role to protect the people of Western Sahara. I'll get back to Bouyei. They wanted to protect the people of Western Sahara. So they established a body to oversee the resolution of this question between Morocco and the political movement called the Polisario, which is claiming, is called for plebiscite. And this is a really volatile question, because over the years now, everybody says, oh yes, there has to be a plebiscite. It's the only way to solve it. Well, of course, Donald Trump and King of Morocco knocked all that in a cocked hat by saying that Western Sahara will go to Morocco. And that raises the hackles of various places. First of all, in the world, where there was an agreement to solve this matter by plebiscite and negotiations between the parties. In other words, a peaceful and democratic solution. What could be better? But in order to get Morocco's agreement to make a public show of recognition. When I say show, it's very imprecise what it is Morocco has agreed to in regard to Israel. But in order to get that deal so that he could have his picture taken with everybody, Trump said the United States recognizes Morocco's claim to Western Sahara. So the death of Pierre Bouyei comes in the middle of all this. And we had been talking on the Taylor Report about how curious it was that Pierre Bouyei, who, again, has been recognized as the power, the source, the center of power of a political faction in Burundi that murdered two presidents, elected presidents of Burundi, how did he end up with a role wearing a suit and sitting behind tables and acting the part of an African Union representative? There's a lot of this. This has been noticed in other quarters, but because he's so well known, when he was charged in Burundi with the crime of assassinating the two presidents and convicted, the camera moved to him and questions arose, and obviously many African leaders wanted to know the answer to that question too. How come he's got this nice job with the African Union, and it's a heavyweight job solving this crisis in Western Sahara? Well, apparently only in the past few days, recent days, I'd say a couple of weeks, Pierre Buyoya, under this pressure, said he was going to resign that position. My guess is it was out of embarrassment to others, people who said to him, probably, in the Taylor Report we like to talk about reality as opposed to, speeches and tweets. No doubt some powerful people in Africa said to him, we didn't mind you had that job, but now that it's come to light that you've been convicted by Burundi of murder, it's probably better that you not be here. And so he said he's going to clear his name. Then the next thing is he has died. He died of corona. Here's the item from Bloomberg. Burundi's former leader, Pierre Buyoya, who just two months ago was sentenced in absentia to life in prison over the 1993 assassination of President Melchior Ndadaye and the massacres that followed, has died. He was 71 years old. He died in Paris after contracting COVID-19 in Mali, where he had served as the African Union's high representative for Mali and the Sahel, until he was forced to resign his conviction by Burundi's Supreme Court. His death was announced by Burundi's state-controlled broadcaster on Friday. It's very important to notice that this has happened, we're going to have interesting post-mortem about Buyoya, because he is linked to the problems that unfolded in Rwanda in 1994. And so I'm glad to be underlining that. We'll be talking more about Pierre Buyoya. And also, he wasn't the only one convicted. It was considered a very courageous act, actually, and I think it is courageous on the part of the Burundian government, because often they say, look, it's better for everybody that we just let bygones be bygones and move on. But they said, no, these were crimes. He's the one who committed them, or was at the center of it. So we are going to go forward with his prosecution. And they did it, and him and I think it was at least 12, 15 more individuals. How many of them are in custody, I would not know. But what they are saying in Burundi is that they have taken charge of the file, and they're not going to just let it drift. They're going to say who committed the crimes and who is going to, and they will answer as a government for those people, to those people who had befriended Buyoya and want to meddle. I raise it too partly because this is going to become a cause for Samantha Power and others. Samantha Power is determined to overthrow the government of Burundi. She's going to be back in with the Biden administration. I have no doubt that they intend to resume their game of regime change wherever they choose, and one of the places they choose is Burundi. And so they will be coming back to that and to pursuing the government of Burundi. Now, we also have news to do with Paul Rusesabagina. And I recommend ways to learn about Paul's case. He deserves international support. He is the victim of a conspiracy. involving, I'm sorry to say, the United States. This is kind of difficult to talk about. He's a legal resident of the United States, but the United States has so far not done anything to show that they regard this as a serious matter. Usually, when another power, an alien state, takes an action that impacts on a legal resident or a citizen, the Americans get very pushy. But in this case, they have not, and neither has Belgium. I'll make one last link to the name of Pierre Bourdieu. The United States took in Pierre Bourdieu. They knew he had staged that coup in Burundi. They knew he had murdered the president, caused the refugees, thousands of refugees, and had killed many, many people. They knew it. And they gave him a job in the United States. And I remember the article from, I think it was the Herald Tribune, saying that he was paid $250,000 a year at some American university to write about human rights in Central Africa, which is just, I call that a boondoggle or something. It's a hustle. Anyhow, they did it. They knew what they were doing. He's one of their protected friends. Of course, now it's all over with him. Coming back to Rusis Abadina, pretty significant development. I urge people to go to the site of Rusis Abadina's daughter, Karine Kanimba. I'll give her Twitter bit later, but you will find her. She keeps a practically daily update of information about his status and support coming to him. Here's what the Courthouse News Service says, courthousenews.com. Jailed Hotel Rwanda hero sues over arrest in U.S. court. This is December the 14th, Courthouse News. A recently imprisoned Rwandan hotelier whose actions during the East African nation's 1994 genocide inspired the film Hotel Rwanda, claims in a federal lawsuit that a Greek private charter airline and a Rwandan secret agent conspired to kidnap and jail him. Paul Rusesina has a home in Texas, sued GainJet Aviation and Constantine Niyumwungiri in San Antonio Federal Court Monday afternoon, alleging they worked with Rwandan President Paul Kagame to punish Rusesabagina for publicly criticizing Kagame and his government. Quotes, this case arises out of a conspiracy of the Rwandan government and defendants GainJet and Constantine Niyumwungiri to engage in the unlawful extradition, arbitrary detention, and torture of Paul Rusesabagina. The 90-page lawsuit states, Mr. Rusesabagina has become yet another victim. This is a quote, another victim of Rwandan President Paul Kagame's practice of silencing political opponents and arbitrarily detaining them under the pretext of terrorism. He is the son of a Hutu father, a Tutsi mother. Rusesabagina sheltered more than 1,200 refugees from paramilitary forces that spring before he and his wife Tatiana, an ethnically Tutsi woman, were able to flee Tanzania with help from Rwandan Patriotic Front, whose armed wing began and won the Rwanda Civil War. I'm accepting this language. I don't agree with it. This is Phil Taylor book. Before installing Kagame as the nation's president in 2000. This is further reporting on this action being taken in Texas court. Targeting of Mr. Rusesabagina increased as he became an internationally known humanitarian and continued to speak out against Rwandan government human rights abuses, including when Mr. Rusesabagina spoke in support of the United Nations mapping report in 2010. That report concluded that President Kagame and his government are responsible for war crimes and crimes against humanity in the Congo, the lawsuit states. As a result of these criticisms, quotes, as a result of these criticisms of Kagame and his government, Mr. Rusesabagina became the subject of harassment, threats against his life, at least one assassination attempt, and a decades-long smear campaign by Mr. Kagame's government and its state-run media. The coordinated harassment has culminated, the lawsuit claims, in Rusesabagina's August 20 arrest in Kigali, according to the allegations. Rusesabagina was asked to leave his home in San Antonio, Texas, and travel to Burundi by way of Dubai to speak at churches and at public gatherings about his experience during the Rwanda genocide. When Rusesabagina got to Dubai and boarded a plane chartered by Gainjet, a private airline based in Athens, Greece, he expected to be taken to Burundi for his speaking circuit. Instead, he alleges, he was joined by Niyumungeri, a Rwandan operative, and taken to Kigali, where Rusesabagina had previously sworn that he would never return. Quotes, as the plane neared the Kigali airport, the co-conspirators bound Mr. Rusesabagina, the lawsuit claims. When Mr. Rusesabagina got off the plane, he was surrounded by armed Rwandan law enforcement, blindfolded and tied at the hands and feet. The conspirators then tortured Mr. Rusesabagina by keeping him bound by his feet and hands and keeping him blindfolded for 3 days. After imprisoning him for weeks, Rwandan officials indicted Rusesabagina on terrorism charges, which he says is cover for being a high-profile and effective critic of Kagame and his regime. Rusesabagina and his family are represented by Robert Hilliard of Hilliard Martinez Gonzalez of in Corpus Christi, Texas. The family seeks statutory and punitive damages under the Torture Victim Protection Act, the Alien Tort Statute, and international law, in addition to alleging civil conspiracy, false imprisonment, and intentional infliction of severe emotional distress. Calls placed to Gainjet and Rwandan embassy in Rwanda were not returned by at press time. Where this is the being reported by Courthouse News. His trial, Paul's trial, is set for January 26, and he has been denied bail. This is a very important development in my view, and you are listening to Taylor Report. Paul Rusesabagina is someone we have interviewed over the years. I would say Paul is one of the important witnesses, historical witnesses. He has been straightforward in his views. His difficulty, I would say, emerged from the fact that he didn't play ball. They wanted him to be the one who would be, you know, in the film. There was a story, and many people came to understand the terrible things that happened in Rwanda in 1994 through that film, and they wanted to know about Mr. Rusesabagina. And Paul was a truthful man, so if they asked him about how wonderful things were or how democratic it was and all that, and the qualities of the good qualities of the current power, he refused to play the along. He told the truth. And they say, you know, if you tell the truth, you better have one foot in the stirrup. Because frankly, he messed up the story. And he did that because he's a truthful man. And so he has been very courageous, and he has continued to speak out. He's been stalked. His family were attacked in Belgium. Of course, he told us on the Taylor Report, and you can find it in his book, An Ordinary Man was the title. He lost many friends and family, and he said so. And he said they were not killed by the so-called Hutu extremists. They were killed by supporters of and led by the Rwanda Patriotic Front. That is his testimony. The United States and other Western countries had prepared a kind of carefully developed story, which didn't allow for the revelations that have come to light by, of course, I have to say, about half of the really striking, shocking information about the criminal conduct of the leadership of the RPF has come from its members, we're talking about people who served as prime minister and people who served as their ambassadors to the United Nations, to the United States, to France, high-ranking members of their judiciary, members of the army, have all said, no, it's not true. This kind of story about the cavalry led by the RPF coming over the hill to rescue the people of Rwanda. This is simply a legend, myth. And that has tangled up the narrative constructed by people like Samantha Power, who is a dangerous character, because there are people who actually, I guess maybe her, the shine has got off her story. I mean, she was always supposed to be the pure, the righteous one in the Obama administration. By righteous, it meant bomb people, overthrow governments, and she would be there to stand on the corpse and say what a wonderful thing it was. Again, to tie this story up together, she's going to be coming back with the Biden group, because Biden is really the Obama group, maybe with a little less talent. We'll see. But the story of Paul Rusesabagina is there to be heard, and he should be supported in every way possible. Members of the United States Congress and a couple of senators have been inquiring about his treatment and want him to be returned. And this lawsuit in Texas shows he was illegally taken from Dubai, he didn't have due process, and that Gainjet, according to the allegation, Gainjet had a responsibility. I've seen Mr. Hilliard, the lawyer, being interviewed, and he says, when you have somebody in your plane, you're flying from one country to another, and this person doesn't want to go where he's going, being taken, you're supposed to make some alert about it. You're supposed to do something, and Gainjet didn't do it. Gainjet has one African office, and that's in Kigali. Otherwise, it's a Greek airline. It seems to be there to serve the government of Rwanda. Most of its contracts, my understanding is, it's certainly in Africa. Most of the flights are Kigali flights. They haven't made an answer. We'll see what's going to happen. I'm glad this is coming into this venue. It's in the United States District Court, Western District of Texas, San Antonio Division. It's the Paul Rusesabagina and family are the bringing the suit, and they are demanding a jury trial. And as I say, voices have been heard in Belgium and in the United States. Within Canada, there is, as they say, crickets. Go to Corinne Kanimba, and she is at C, the letter C, K-A-N-I-M-B-A, C Kanimba, and so that you can follow on a regular basis these dramatic developments. And it's coming near Christmas time. I know Paul is, this would be important to him and his family. It'd be really good if people spoke up and caused the right thing to be done, which is return him, because he was illegally transferred from Dubai by Gainjet. They have a lot to answer for. And of course, this agent, this Constantine. I'm glad this all came up, because on the Taylor Report, we've asked who this is, and that it hasn't been brought to light, but this lawsuit is going to bring it all to light. This is the Taylor Report, and you can find us on facebook.com/the Taylor Report, the Taylor Report, and we are on soundcloud.com/Taylor-report. Please check us out there. We probably have to post, we'll look into this, we'll post some of the interviews we've done over the years with Paul. He always made an eloquent guest, and he was very good and very assured of his evidence. He was always prepared to you know, if people would give him the opportunity. He always understood. He didn't push, but he said, "I have a point of view, and if so, you know, if the media want to engage, he's prepared to stand behind what he was saying." So we need to stand behind Paul versus Sabagina. Again, this is the Taylor Report, and you can still contribute to CIUT through the rest of December. We're trying to reach 100,000, and I think we're within close range, and we could really use that. So you go to CIUT.fm and donate and mention the Taylor Report. And this is Phil Taylor. We're going to be back again shortly with some additional items.
The sound of your city. CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. I misspoke earlier, by the way, when I said that Pierre Buyoya was working on the for the African Union on the matter of the Western Sahara dispute involving Morocco, Algeria, and others. He's been working on for the African Union. He was on the issue of the of Mali and the Sahel. But in terms of what he was doing is roughly the same type of role. And the rest of the issue of how he would have gotten such a prestigious job when he was wanted, it was known that he had assassinated African leaders, remains a question, and historians will take care of that for us.